What's up, everybody? My name is Matt Desen, and this is the Nintendo Fever Podcast, episode number 80. Joining me, as always, is our wonderful co-host, who also does a very good job hosting when she does. Holly, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing okay this week. I've been super busy. Like, I cannot explain to you how busy I have been.
So just, like, a little busy?
Well, I don't know where you got little out of super, however many supers I just said, but I started an online class this week, and so, you know, two part-time jobs, an online class, and, you know, all the side responsibilities that everybody has. So, needless to say, I haven't had a lot of time to play games this week, tragically.
Holly, you sound way too much like an adult right now.
Stop sounding like an adult.
The fake crying there at the end of that.
Oh, that is, trust me, from somebody who has three children, totally adult thing to do is fake cry, because then the children sometimes leave you alone as you're crying on the floor.
Okay. That'll be good advice for the future, but yeah, not a lot of chance to play games this week, which is really sad. I'm really missing my free time right now, but other than that, doing great. I'm healthy, I'm happy, my family's doing well, you know, things are good, life is good.
Well, that's good. We're going to be talking about a lot of fun stuff in today's episode. We're going to skip a couple segments because we need to get done a little bit quicker. I don't know if you know this, Holly, and I hate to say it out loud like this because I always feel like people that do this sometimes are kind of like, I don't know, they're asking for something, and I'm by no means asking for anything, but it is actually my birthday weekend. The 16th is my actual birthday. So in the day that you hear this, which is Monday, the day before, which is Sunday, is my actual birthday. So I'm going to be watching the Tennessee Titans play against the Browns for my birthday. We're going to have cake and ice cream Saturday night. We're going to do somewhat of a little party. I'm going to get together with some friends, family, and stuff like that. But I plan it to be a pretty enjoyable birthday weekend. So it's also going to be pretty busy for me. The week wasn't too bad, but I figured the weekend is going to be pretty good for me. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. See, I wasn't aiming for that. I wasn't aiming for that. I promise. But during today's show, besides talking about me and my wonderful birthday, we're also going to be talking about recent swag, things that we may or may not have purchased, stuff that came out this week that we will or will not want to buy, and then stuff that we have or have not been playing. And then we have a small, very, very small feature about a very, very small item. You see, do you see what I did there? I'm pretty happy about that one, Holly.
It's going to explode. Like, this podcast is going to go, like, way too long for some reason, just because of this tiny little thing that's supposed to be tiny, but it'll explode. I don't know.
We're going to leave that as a mystery towards the end of the show, so you enjoy the little surprise that we have for you about our tiny feature. Wow, I'm just like, I'm on fire. I'm so punny. Get it? Punny? All right.
Hang on.
Yes.
I think I get it now. Okay.
Okay. Okay. So we are not going to be talking about Pokemon this week, just to save a little bit of time, but we are going to let you know which Pokemon was the Who Guessed That Pokemon NF Pokemon on Twitter challenge for last week, which was, of course, Pichu.
It's Pikachu's previous previous evolution. So
baby evolution?
Yeah. Yeah. So sweet little Pichu.
Isn't it weird how in the Pokemon world, your baby comes after you're fully evolved?
Yeah, we've talked about that before.
It makes no sense. I agree. We have, but it makes absolutely no sense. Like, their way that they evolve and de-evolve is both forwards and backwards.
Well, they don't. I mean, no Pokemon de-evolves. You could keep a Pokemon from evolving, but I thought you were referring to the fact that Pichu came in Gen 2, which is a generation after Pikachu.
And its number is far after. I know that these things are, like, logged in based upon probably when they were discovered, I think is how the Pokedex works. So it's not so much like this is the order in which they are alive, but at the same time, it's just kind of weird that, like, the baby versions of these Pokemon
can
baby,
previously
right?
Previously evolved form. Yeah, it is referred to as a baby Pokemon, but
so it's just weird. I don't know. And also, not all of them have baby forms, which is weird too, because does that mean their stage one is also their baby form? I don't know. It makes no sense. Doesn't that technically mean that Pikachu now has three evolutions, because it has baby, Pikachu, and then Raichu? I'm really getting confused, Holly. My brain hurts about all these Pokemon.
Yeah, we talked about it last week, and as always, congrats to Gentis and Ivan for guessing correctly. We need more guesses, so for anyone else listening to the podcast who, actually, it's funny that I should say this now, because we don't have a Pokemon for you to guess this week, but starting next week,
we expect you guys to really put in effort next week. Not this
yes.
week.
Don't let, I mean, Gentis and Ivan are clearly, you know, Pokemon masters, and, you know, we know they're not the only ones out there, so definitely let us know what your guesses are when we resume Who's That Pokemon starting next episode.
Yes, but moving on from the Pokemon section, we are going to talk about recent Swag. Holly, I received one Nvidia game, so I'm going to go price second, depending on what you got. I don't know, did you get anything exciting this week?
I'm going to say that I did, because I was able to receive, and you know, in a way
that
this is
like
physical.
You're stealing something, just so you know, you're like, I may not have purchased something, but I sure got something.
Oh yeah, true, I stole it. No, I'm kidding. Whoa. This is... This is like part physical, part digital. I got a code for the Pokemon Volcanion.
Volcanion.
I don't know if that is the like set in stone gospel truth pronunciation for that Pokemon there, but I was able to get a code for that mythical Pokemon. And the way to get those is to have a physical card given to you at GameStop, and it is free. I didn't steal anything, except that I didn't get this card on my own. Gentis was actually kind enough to send me a code for this Pokemon, so I really wanted to give a shout out to him for letting me use one of his codes that he received from GameStop. So thank you, Gentis. I can't tell you how much I appreciate all that you do by listening to the podcast every week and by sending these things to us. It's great. So thanks so much, Gentis.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. I also got something physical / not physical as well, in a way, because I got a beta code for the new Call of Duty called Advanced Warfare for the PS4. It's a beta for the multiplayer, you know, to test it out. And I've been trying to test it out, but it will not connect me to any other person in the world. So either nobody's playing Call of Duty, which I kind of find believable. Not going to lie. It's not that popular of a video game. I don't know if you know this or not, Holly. Not very popular.
It's dropped in popularity, or are you being sarcastic?
I'm being completely sarcastic. And I knew that you wouldn't pick up on the sarcasm just because... like Call of Duty.
Well, I figured it was losing popularity a little bit, but
I almost wonder.
No such luck.
I almost wonder if there's like a time that I could like be like, "Have you heard of Call of Duty?" And you could be like, "Ah, Call of Duty, is that like a video game?" Like, I don't know where you are in the world of like knowing what Call of Duty is completely. Would you have known the subtitle?
Every time I hear, maybe, I don't know, I have a friend who plays it, but every time I hear Call of Duty, all I think about is Vanellope von Schweetz and Wreck-It Ralph going like, Heroes Duty!
Wow. Yes, awesome.
So I always just have this inclination to make fun of the title of Call of Duty.
Oh my gosh. Now Heroes we have, Duty. I'm about to turn 28 years old and I'm laughing at a duty joke. Life must be pretty good. So I have not been able to try that because the game won't let me try that. But I also did buy a physical game this week, and I hate to break everybody that is a Nintendo fan's heart, but I'm still unable to fully get Paper Mario as I was hoping to buy. So instead, Holly, I bought a PS4 game. I got WWE 2K17 for my PS4.
You know, I feel like it's kind of a good time to be a sports game fan, because as far as I can tell, that's the sports games coming out on PS4 are really the only things getting really, really excellent reviews.
I really liked Madden 2017 for the PS4. I still play it and still enjoy it. It's nice to have like an updated roster, and I haven't really played the next gen of football where it comes to like them updating rosters and stuff like that, because I always played on the Wii and then the Wii U, and now I finally got a PS4. So like, it's the first time I've really taken advantage of like them always constantly doing updates, which one, yes, can stink occasionally, but because I leave mine in rest mode, it's usually updating and I only play it once every couple weeks. So it's usually whatever updates need to be updated are usually done by the time I want to play it again, which is nice. But like with this WWE game, I bought it late because the place that I was trying to purchase it from was crappy, but they did not receive their shipment for a very long time, almost a week after the game actually released. So that's ridiculous in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
But I put it in and I have to wait 3 hours for it to update and install. I can play it, mind you, without the updates, but the updates allow you to use some of the better options like on the online side of things. So the one thing that stinks about next gen, especially with the PS4, and I'm pretty sure with the Xbox One, but like you don't get a game complete when you buy it. You have to then go and finish the update process for it. It's yeah, really weird.
I think that's the case with Xbox as well. I think someone at the library, actually, I was talking to, specifically told me that, and I was like, that's not very Nintendo-like, and so I'm not, you know, kind of up to speed on some of the irritations other consoles.
Mind you, me and you, Holly, of course, we got our Wii U's day of, and we buy most of the big-name games day of and stuff, but, like, and, you know, there have been times such as, like, Xenoblade Chronicles for the Wii U. You had the option to download the patches and the updates prior to the game getting released, but had you not done that, or me, who's never done that, and I was to buy Xenoblade Chronicles X, I would now have to wait for those things to be installed before I would take advantage of them. So it does happen. It's just not as prevalent as we see on the other consoles. But, I mean, even if you look at Super Mario Wii, when it first came out, there was obviously, it was fine. But then about, I don't know, 3 or 4 months after, they did an update for it to allow you to be able to use, like, the Pro Controller and things like that. So I think it was the Wiimote or something like that, some weird update. But if you would have just purchased that video game and then put it in, you would then have to do that same process. So it doesn't happen to me and you as much, but I do understand that it is a constant of this next generation. It's just such a weird thing. It's so weird to buy a game that's not finished, I guess. Like, at least Nintendo's never released a game and then the day of there's a patch, except for Smash Brothers. Smash Brothers did do that, day of patch. I'm trying to think if there's any other games that did that. Is there anything that you can think of?
No. Or although,
did Star,
you know,
Fox?
Not sure, but, you know, regardless of whether there's some update that you need right off the bat, I mean, it doesn't take more than, like, 5 minutes tops to get updates for most Nintendo games.
It takes a little longer than that.
Maybe my internet's better than yours, but, like, seriously, most of my games come and I stick them in the console and they do have to get an update, and it takes five or under to get that updated.
I want you to turn your Wii U off and not turn it on for a month, which is not hard to do nowadays. And then I want to see how long some of those updates take for you. Okay, anyways, moving on. Yeah, so the only physical game that I bought, I did get a couple things that I'll talk about during what we've been playing. But physical, that's it. So if unless there's something else you have, we'll move on to what is out this week.
Nah, I'm good.
Okay, so out this week for the Nintendo 3DS. Of course, the reason why we do this section of out this week is because I know it's hard to believe, but video games still do come out for the Wii U and for the Nintendo 3DS. Sadly, they're not always in the physical form, but they are more than usually great indie games or digital games that you can find on the eShop. So we want to highlight the ones that come out every week. Do we know what every one of these games are? No. But we do want you to know that they do exist. So coming out for the Nintendo 3DS this week was Disney's Magical World 2. Animal Crossing while living in the Disney world is kind of what this looks like, but I don't have any idea what it is. I really don't. Do you have any idea what these games are, Holly?
I'm guessing it's basically just, you know, you choose the world, the Disney world that you want to go visit, and you go and talk to characters, solve some problems. It's probably just super ultra simple gameplay. You can customize your Mii character and so on and so forth, but, you know, it's just a real simple game for little kids who want something to play on their 3DS. So
I guess so. I know that these games are super popular in Japan, believe it or not. I don't know how they've ever done in the West, but these are like million sellers in Japan. It's very weird, but they are. Japan loves Disney. They love Disney, and they love Nintendo. So put those two things together, and you make money. Then we also, for the Nintendo 3DS, we also have Gurumim 3D, a monstrous adventure. I watched the trailer for this. This looks pretty cool. I think it's a remake of some sort of game that came out on a previous generation of something. But it's a
PlayStation, 3D. I think.
Yeah, I think so.
If I'm not mistaken.
I believe you're right. But it looked almost like a weird hybrid between like a platformer RPG. I don't know. There's some really interesting things in the trailer that if you haven't checked the trailer out, I'd recommend checking it out. Severed is now out for the 3DS, and if you already purchased this for the Wii U, then you'd get both of these because it's cross-buy enabled. Did you ever pick up Severed like you were wanting to?
I didn't. It's really sad, but I am trying to budget better. I'm trying to, you know, not waste as much time on video games. I'm sounding even more adult here.
Too much adult happening in this, I tell you what. This
but,
game
yeah,
still
I have
looks,
to be practical.
This game looks really good, and this is, am I super, like, interested in this game? Yes. Do I want to buy it day of? No. But at the moment this one goes on a sale and drops below that $10, you know, that $9.99 mark for me,
yeah.
I think this is a pretty easy buy, but right now for $15, I'm not super enough intrigued about it, but it does look good. I mean, there's nothing negative about it.
We're still talking Severed,
yes.
Right? Yeah, I think it looks amazing. I saw some gameplay from Nintendo Life, actually, and thought, like, wow, this actually looks really cool. So
very neat-looking game. Especially
I sure
to have,
wish I had more time.
Especially if cross-buy on it would be kind of just fun so you could test and play both sides of the coin. Block Form is a new Nintendo 3DS game. I'm not going to lie, this one looks not very good. It's a 3D,
yikes.
It's a 3D
yeah.
platformer that just looks like blocks jumping on top of blocks.
Like, you know, blocks drawn by, I'd say, 6-7-year-old person.
Maybe
that's what the graphics look like to me.
It looked pretty poor, sadly. But I mean, you be the judge. Check it out on your own if you want to. And then also Chase, Cold Case Investigations, Distant Memories.
Ooh.
I mean, I made it sound more exciting than it probably is, but now I want
to
play
it's
it.
It's a sequel to Hotel Dusk Room 215 or whatever that game was on the Nintendo DS.
No, yeah. It's not.
Yes, it is, and it's like under $10, I believe.
What?
Or just over $10, I don't know, one of those.
You're
things.
Lying right now.
I'm not. Go look at the screenshots, you'll see the same guy.
Oh my
the
gosh.
The main character guy with the scruffy facial hair and so on and so forth. Yeah.
I feel so bad for making fun of this right now. I'm going to go buy this. Oh my gosh, yes. Oh,
well,
I'm,
Matt
I'm,
figured
I'm
out
checked
a new...
out. I'm checked out. I'm now watching
I think it's
this only.
Digital only, sadly, but...
That's fine with me. If it's $10, sign me up.
Yeah, it's pretty dang. It was pretty cheap. I was kind of surprised to see the price and
Speaking
things.
Speaking
so, yeah.
of $10, the Wii U Virtual Console games, we got a couple as well for the DS. Animal Crossing Wild World, which I was really surprised to see an Animal Crossing game come to the Virtual Console, be it the DS version on the Wii U. Sense. And then we also got Kirby Canvas Curse on the Virtual Console for the DS. If anybody has not played this game and they can't find it physical for a good price, go buy this game for $10. It is so worth $10.
I just spent my $10 on Wild World.
No, you made the wrong choice, Holly. You made
hey,
the wrong choice.
It's for my
choice.
Little sister. She loves Animal Crossing, and I thought, ooh, I could buy this from my computer, and it'll start downloading upstairs on the Wii U, and I can text my sister and be like, check out what's downloading on the Wii U, and it'd be a nice surprise. Plus,
no.
I want to try
Kirby.
It out.
Kirby
well.
Cursed Canvas is... probably the greatest
canvas curse.
Yeah, that's what I said. Why are you repeating
okay.
me? It's probably one of the greatest
like that,
video games ever made for the DS. You have to play this game. It is so good. Okay, and then moving on, there's Mojang. I don't know how to say it.
Mahjong.
Now we just sound like crazy people repeating
I'm
each
sure
other.
we got a good pronunciation in there somewhere, so
or if you
we're,
take
we're covered.
If you take half of my pronunciation with half of your pronunciation, then it's probably okay.
Yeah.
This is a block game that's used with domino type tiles that you use to match things up. My mother-in-law loves this, so if your mother-in-law plays your Wii U, this may be a consideration for you to buy. The last game for the Wii U is Bit Dungeon Plus. This is a hack and slash, roguelike, top-down perspective, endless dungeon game where you get to like collect loot and upgrade yourself and fight bosses and go to room to room to room. And it's one of those types of games. And spoiler alert, this is what I'm going to be talking about during what we've been playing. So,
interesting.
Holly, have you played anything of interest? Or have you just been playing the game of adulthood?
The game of adulthood, mostly. A couple of nights this week, I stayed up late and treated myself to some Skyward Sword because I couldn't stand not playing something at some point. So I played a little bit of Skyward Sword. A couple of nights. Just a superb game. I love it so much every time. Except those imprisoned. I just have to quickly say, those fights, and if you're with me, if you've played this game and you're with me on this, then... give me a shout out on Twitter. Let me know how much you hate these so that we can rant together. But the imprisoned boss fights in Skyward Sword, they just get worse and worse. They are horrible. The worst boss fight ever Jeez. Conceived. I swear I would knock this game down from a 10 to like a 9 out of 10 purely because of these horrible, horrible boss fights.
That
I
bad.
Hate the imprisoned. Yes.
Just because of the way that they're built, or, I mean, is there something specific about it that causes that?
Well, I guess you've never played Skyward Sword, so no. It's a weird boss fight where you're fighting this ginormous thing as it tries to walk up a circular ramp type area, and you're attacking its toes, basically. They're these weird, like, oh, I just can't even describe them. These weird toes that you're supposed to slash with your sword and things like that. But, you know, it's constantly stepping. And during the second and third phase, let's see, the second and third versions, because you have to fight it multiple times. And during the second and third versions of this boss fight, it's got these irritating shockwaves that come out of its feet every step that it takes. And it's just clunky. It does not feel good at all. The only good thing that feels good about this boss fight is when you finally knock the stupid thing down and run up to where its head is actually close to the ground, and there's this spike kind of stuck in its head, and you actually get to use your sword, you actually get to swing your sword upward and cause that spike to, like, drill it into its head. That's pretty satisfying, but oh gosh, getting those stupid toes is so, so irritating. And if any of you listeners out there love that boss fight or like that boss fight for any reason, then again, tweet me and let me know that you love it. You know, support that boss fight, because I'm sure that it has its fans. But if you hate it, also tweet me. Just, you know, tweet me about Skyward Sword. I'll take anything.
Alrighty, well, you heard her. I hate that. Please tweet at Holly Felmuth and let her know how much you dislike, love, or just don't really care about Skyward Sword, either or.
Aww.
And all the above. Well, anything else, or is that about it?
That's about it for this week.
Okay. I've been playing two games more or less exclusively. I'm not going to talk about WWE 2K17 because I've only played it for about an hour and a half. But two video games that I bought last week and this week as well were the Quest for Dungeons. It was cross-buy for both Wii U and 3DS, and I also bought that Bit Dungeon Plus. Both of them are basically the same type of game. They're a top-down, isometric, 2.5D dungeon crawler roguelike game where it has not necessarily permadeath, but when you die, you lose a bunch of your stats, then you start from scratch again, and then you go through and you're trying to get further and further into the dungeon, completing quests and defeating bosses and upgrading your armor and your swords, your equipment, and then selling stuff and buying new stuff. It's a lot of fun. I'm not super far into either. I think I've played probably 2.5 hours of both of them total right now, maybe three or so, I guess, maybe a little longer than that. But I think I like Quest of Dungeons just a little bit more. It's funny because in Quest of Dungeons, you actually just run into things. So nothing moves unless you move. So it's all like turn-based in a little bit. So like if you move, then they move, then they follow you. But they won't move until you make your move. So then you're able to do like a spell or, you know, use a potion. And then they'll react to whatever it is that you do. It's kind of weird because you're basically just like running into everything that you're trying to attack. And it has a really weird feel because it always feels like maybe you're going to be taking more damage than you need to take or something, but it actually has a really cool aesthetic to it, and the way that it feels overall, you're always trying to upgrade your health so you don't die down in the dungeon, obviously. I don't know, there's some really cool things about it, and it's a lot of fun. Bit Dungeon Plus is a little different because it gives you a random character upon playing, at least it seems like so far, and then you actually have to try and fight with your actual sword while you're moving and everything moves on its own. But the cool thing about this, I haven't got to try it yet, but it is two players. So you can dungeon crawl two players, so I'm hoping to do that sooner than later
that
with my daughter.
Always appealing to me.
Because I think that'd always be a lot of fun just to like see how long we can last inside this dungeon, you know, trying not to die, and then when we do die, it's just like, all right, well, let's try again. Let's see if we can get a little bit further and stuff. You know, it's one of those types of games where when you're done playing it, you just want to say like, well, let's try again, you know? So I don't know. Both of them are a lot of fun. Both of them are only like $8 a piece. Like, I think they're totally worth it. I can see them offering just a ton of hours of gameplay. And I've just been wanting to play something that's like a roguelike for a little while for some reason. There's a game called Risk for Rain that is on the PC that I really, really adore. But I wish it would come to my PS Vita because I think it would be like amazing to play on my Vita. So this is kind of itching that small piece of like roguelikeness. I also started playing SteamWorld Heist again because I was feeling like playing some turn-based tactic tile game, and that has been hitting a really good spot for me as well. And I also have been playing, I guess I have been playing a little bit more than nothing this past little while, because I also played Codename Steam. And that's obviously a turn-based tactics game as well. And I've been having a lot of fun playing that on my 3DS. My 3DS, I've been getting a lot of game out of. I've been playing a lot of different stuff on there. And then the Wii U is where I've been playing Bit Dragon Plus, Bit Dungeon Plus, which has been a pretty good time as well. But those are a couple of games that I've been playing that I wanted to highlight. Nothing too crazy. Now, it's supposed to be time for our feature, but we're running a little bit later than we wanted to. Do you want to try to tackle this, or do you want to save it for another time?
Let's tackle it. It's just one tiny little complaint of yours that we might get some discussion out of.
Well, I hope we get a little bit of discussion. But,
let's go for it.
All right, so everybody knows what the Nintendo Classic Edition is. It's a miniature version of the Nintendo with, it's what, 60 games built on it? Or 30?
30.
30 games built in it. Okay, built in. That's what I want to highlight on. You don't put another cartridge or an SD card or anything inside of it. You buy it, you plug it into your television, and then you just play. There is a name for this type of thing. It's called a plug-and-play. And it's not annoying, it's not frustrating. I just don't understand why there's a lot of hype for people to wish that they could pre-order this when all it is a plug-and-play device. They've made Pac-Man versions, they've made Mega Man versions, they've made Sega versions, Intellivision versions, Atari versions, where you just take a device, you plug it into your TV, and then you just play games off of it. It's not a console, it's not something super amazing technologically wise. It is just a plug-and-play device. It is a toy to the umpth degree. Like, if you want to argue that Nintendo is a toy company, this is the kind of thing that you would show somebody and be like, see, Nintendo made this, because it's a total toy. You plug it into your TV, and you play. And that is it. I don't understand why people are thinking they're going to be able to pre-order something like this. Now, Holly, have you ever seen a plug-and-play device before?
No, I have not. But I've heard about a dozen of them at this point.
Yes, for me. My question to you, though, is have you... Next time... I know you don't go to Walmart very much because I know it's about a state over from you. But the next time that you do go to a Walmart, just go to the general electronics section and the toy section, and you will see these plug-and-play devices. Like, they're everywhere. You know where, like, the Amiibo are in the Walmart section? Around that area, you will see plug-and-plays for, like, Atari, for Sega.
I've never seen anything like that at Walmart.
I'm going to do nothing but take pictures of these things and send them to you all the time.
Sure.
All the
time. Make them be Walmart pictures, because I'm pretty sure I've never, ever seen anything remotely like that.
Everybody, please send pictures of plug-and-play devices from Walmart to Holly at Holly Felmuth on Twitter. I'm telling you right now, they exist, and they've never got a pre-order for them before. And I don't know, I'm not trying to like start a fire or heat or anything crazy like that. I just don't, I want everyone to understand so that maybe they're not waiting anymore for the pre-order, because it will never be a pre-order thing. We will get this released November 11th or 12th, the week before Black Friday, and they will be some sort of Black Friday special for them. But we are not going to get a pre-order for this. I would bet a lot of things on it that we will.
Well, I think that people are just worried that it's going to sell out really quickly, and it's Nintendo, just going to become one of those super ultra rare novelty items.
But that's exactly what Nintendo wants to have happen. This is not the type of thing that they want to have a stock on hand because of pre-orders. They want to make it, they want to sell it, and they want to burn it. And that's done with it. And then they can come back out in a couple of years with the Classic NES Edition Volume 2, which is what they've done with all of these. It's called the Atari Flashback. You plug it in and you play a bunch of Atari games. Flashback 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Like, each of them have 20 different games on them. I don't know. That's all I wanted to say. That's the small feature on the NES Mini that I wanted to say. And is there anything you want to say, Holly?
Well, I don't know. Just assure people. The reason that people want to pre-order is because they are worried that there's not going to be enough stock. So tell everybody out there that Nintendo is going to make a surplus of these, and then people will be satisfied. I will be satisfied if I know for a fact that, you know, if I go the day of its release to Walmart in Cortez, Colorado, that there will be some there, because Nintendo is going to stock them well.
Nintendo will stock them decently. I'm not going to promise
decently.
You. Decently. Yeah, I'm not going to say, well, like, Nintendo's used the tactic of supply and demand their entirety of existence. They want you to demand their supply so they have reason to create more. Why were Amiibo, when they were first created, so sought after? Nintendo could have created a surplus of each one, but they didn't. They did that for a reason. I mean, yes, they knew that Mario was going to be popular, and they knew that lesser popular characters were going to need less made of them, but they did it to the umpth degree. That way, these things would become rare and valuable. Same thing they did with the Wii, same thing they did with the NES. The Classic Edition is going to be nothing else. Like, they've had
in
plenty
of
time. In that
case, they better do a pre-order. I mean, you could pre-order Amiibo.
Amiibo were different.
Is it unreasonable that that Amiibo were pre-orderable?
No, because Amiibo were a game item usable for a major console release system, just like PSVR or just like the Move controllers at the time. These accessories for these Amiibo, they went and did things with video games that you were using on your Wii U. This NES Mini is something that is so separate and disconnected from Nintendo's main function of being a console release business, a hardware business. It's just a toy. You don't see pre-orders for toys.
Then it better be plentiful, or we'd better get pre-orders. One of those two, or people are going to be unhappy.
People will be unhappy regardless of whatever they do. Like, make sure you know that. There's somebody already unhappy, like, they didn't release my game of choice on this box that I probably wasn't going to buy anyways, but now I'm disappointed in it, so now I'm going to complain on the internet because nobody can see my face, but I can talk as loud as I want. The internet. You gotta love it.
Well, I don't know. I'd like pre-order or for this thing to be very, very readily available. One of those two, and I will be happy. That's why people are complaining about the pre-order thing, I think.
I can totally understand why people would want a pre-order, but I hope everyone understands that there will not be one. This is just a plug and play. That is all it is.
Fair enough. If there's a pre-order that comes out, though, I'm going to rub it in your face.
Please do.
But we gotta get going. I literally have like 2 minutes to
run, Holly, run. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to the Nintendo Fever podcast, episode number 80. If you'd like to reach out to me, myself, Holly, or the podcast itself, find us on Twitter at Only Matt Desen, at Holly Felmuth, and at Nintendo Fever. Please send us your questions. Send it through email. Send it through Twittering. You can send it to on email. You can send it to us on email. I don't know what that means. podcast at nintendofever.com. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time when there is not a pre-order and when our thumbs are hurting. Bye-bye.
We'll see you later.